you've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hello, everyday innovators. Tamara here. Wow, do we need your innovative minds more than ever before? We are living through crazy, unprecedented times, are we? All right, I'm not going to wallow in it because I know we're all hearing it enough on the news and in the media and just on Facebook, everywhere. So let me just say this, maybe put a little light into our dark tunnels right now. You know, innovation has always been about navigating through uncertainty and finding, you know, the different versus just the better, and adapting and changing and shifting your perspective and doing things differently. All this is right now is a dialed up, hyper on steroids version of that, isn't it? It's the time for innovation. It's a time for you to unlock your innovative minds. We need it now more than ever. I can tell you from firsthand experience that, you know, the rug got pulled out from a lot of us. And it's interesting. I was actually walking with a colleague or girlfriend of mine. We were walking our dogs yesterday before they stopped allowing us to do that, probably rightfully so. And we were walking down the parkway, and she actually works for the state here in Colorado. And she was just saying that, you know, we've been talking in the State Department and education world about moving online or having more of a blend of online learning and in classroom and being able to get kids technology who don't normally have it. Like, all these things have always been on the back burner, she said. But, you know, the system has always been considered too large to move, too big to shift. There's always been too much bureaucracy. There might be hot spots of it around the state, she said, but we've never been forced to really do it. She said, you know what? Now we're forced to do it. So she said, the good thing is we've been trying to shift the model for a long time, and now we have no choice. And I thought that perspective was really powerful, and it made me realize. And I said to her, I said, you know, gosh, what you said just made me realize I and my business have been talking about doing more with the online, making the assessment, you know, even more scalable and getting it across the globe so more people can be everyday innovators like you and me, those of us on Launch Street, and doing more online training and really dialing that up so that we can impact more people and get to more people. And I do a lot of keynoting, and not that that's bad, I absolutely love it. I said, but, you know, I've always relied on that as my main revenue stream or my main marketing. I said, and now, obviously, there are no conferences and events going on. Now I'm forced to move in the direction I've always wanted to go, or I've been, I shouldn't say wanted, because I do have a lot of stuff in that area, but, you know, kind of slowly working my way towards, now I'm in it. Now I'm there. And you can see it. We launched this fantastic online course called The 6 Keys to Being a High-Performing Innovation Leader. Right? And it's a 6-part online course that starts April 1st. We have teams signing up for it in the droves because they recognize it's a really powerful way to help their team feel engaged, stay connected with each other, but also give them a lens of innovation to help them thrive during these uncertain times and at least have the tools to start thinking about their challenges differently. So, first of all, I highly recommend the course. Go online and take it. It is really so good. The live course starts April 1st, so you still have time to get a seat. I recommend doing it as a team. By the way, if you're a team, you get a bonus as well. You get a private Q&A group session with me to talk real world case studies. So we get some one-on-one time together with your group. It's the whole thing is live and recorded, right? So if you can't make a class, obviously there's that too, but it's phenomenal. What I'm seeing from the teams that are signing up is that they're really excited to not just do something that empowers them and elevates their skills, but also makes them feel connected. We're excited. Anyways, the point of all that is to say, on my walk yesterday, when I was walking with my girlfriend and walking our dogs, it really kind of was a smack in the face of the urgency and need to innovate. And while innovation has always been important, And always been a necessity in some way. We've had the luxury of time, and we don't have the luxury of time anymore. So let's all get to this. Now, that leads me into what this podcast is all about, the deep dive. It actually started as a live 10-minute burst of innovation video blog, which, by the way, if those are for free, and we've dialed those up too. So if you're not already on that list, I would go register. I used to do them once every, like 7 or 10 days. But after this, this coronavirus stuff happened. At Launch Street, and myself personally, it's a whole team really, have been really committed to making sure that we are giving the tools and the support to our community to help them work through this. So we've dialed those 10-minute Burst of Innovation live webcasts up from 1 every 7, 10 days to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. It's a Zoom call. You click in, you're on mute, but you can ask questions, but I cover a different topic every time. All of the topics relate to transforming uncertainty into innovation. I'm really excited about them. We're getting more and more people every time we do them. If you look across my social media channels, you can find one of the posts that references them and has the link. It's free. Highly recommend it. Today's Inside Launch Street podcast started out as one of those 10-minute bursts of innovation, and I got so many thank yous and questions after that I wanted to deep dive into it a little bit more. And that's how to lead during uncertain times. And this is really about the communication and approach as a leader of a team. And by the way, that doesn't mean that you have to have a VP in your title. There are many leaders out there who don't have VPs in their titles. You know who you are. You're the ones that are the captains of the team. That's who this is for. All right, let's get into it. All right, peeps, how to lead during uncertain times. As I was mentioning in the intro, this is for the captains, right? For the leaders, whether you have the VP in your title or you're the one that brings the team together and they look to move them forward. Leadership right now is in a really tricky place because things are not only uncertain, but they're also out of our control. Right, this isn't an internal issue that we can solve. We can't, unless you're maybe in the government and the health department, but we can't solve, or healthcare, we can't solve coronavirus, most of us, right? We just have to manage and navigate the situation to the best of our ability. But I think there are some really important do's and don'ts in how to lead our teams in a way that helps all of us get through this together. And I wouldn't wish what's going on any generation or any group of people or myself or you or anyone. But I would like to highlight that teams that come together during times of adversity are the ones that are stronger and better prepared on the back end. I think we see that, right? We see it in very extreme situations, like on the battlefield. We see it in with teams on the football field, right? We see it, but this is true for us in our jobs or entrepreneurs, wherever we are as well. So this is all about how do we really lead in a way where, we show strength and courage, but also some vulnerability and some authenticity, because I think we need a little bit of everything. So I actually covered 3 in the video webcast I talked about. By the way, we'll put the link in the show notes too. I don't know why I'd make you search all over social media. We'll put the link in the show notes. I covered 3 and then I had 2 bonuses, so 5 in total. So I want to go through all 5 today and give you some real world examples that highlight these so that you can then take this back to your team. Because now that I think particularly now when this releases, I think it's next week, from where I'm recording it, we're in a place where we need to move forward, right? The, oh my gosh, what's happening is over. The shock part is done. It's time to move into decision and integration. I'm talking about the Kubler-Ross kind of grief change model here, but we need to move across that spectrum over to the place where we're taking action and moving forward and solving our problems. So let me talk about leadership and those tips. So the first one out of the 5 is realism over optimism. It's really tempting in times like this as leaders to try to assuage fears by just coming in with the positive, right? Hey, everyone, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. This is going to end. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep doing our work. Everything will be fine. Now, I can feel all you people out there rolling your eyes as I say that, right? Why? Because you know that's not totally true. You know that all optimism or all overly positive is BS. So when you come to your teams with that overly optimistic perspective that doesn't include any of reality, they don't believe you. I saw it in a team meeting in a different situation where the company was tanking and the leader came in and just said, "Hey everyone, like, hey, I know it looks bad, but really it's all good. And we're going to get through it and it's going to be fine. So don't you worry, put those fears aside, take it easy. We'll just keep doing our work and we'll get through it." You can imagine the harm that that does, right? When you come in with this overly optimistic approach, it actually minimizes the trust that people have in you because they know that either you're not telling them the truth because you know some shit that you don't want to say, or that you're in denial and nobody wants to follow someone in denial. Now, I have to say the flip side of the extreme on that spectrum is also not good, right? The overly skeptical, over negative. Oh my God, the world is falling down. I don't know what we're going to do. You guys, I got nothing. Like, I'm in the trenches with you, but I got nothing. Well, nobody wants to follow the negative person too, right? That's demoralizing and stressful. That actually, in fact, my heart rate goes up just saying that out loud of like, it's all doom and gloom. Ah, we're all going to die, right? That doesn't help either. That makes people even more stressed out. The place to be is in realism, right? And I think there's a hint, or maybe a lot, of transparency in realism as well. Hey, here's the deal. We got to shift how we work. We got to do things differently. This is affecting the sales of our business. This is affecting our ability to do our jobs. Our clients are frustrated too. However, I think this is an opportunity for us to innovate. I think this is an opportunity for us to follow some things we've been talking about. However, we're going to get through this together, and here's how. Do you see the difference there? I want to follow a leader. Your people want to follow a leader who is real with them, not on other sides of the extreme of the spectrum. Neither of those work. What I've seen with great leaders is the ones who are real about the positive and the negative, they're the ones people want to follow. And frankly, it gives people the lens that they need to actually move forward, right? You need to understand both sides of it. So they want you to have some strength, but also be real. Be real with them. Okay. The second one, which actually I kind of hinted to in my example before, is action over answers. Let me share a story with you that someone shared with me recently. So a friend of mine's husband works for a company that does this very cool thing. Every Friday, they do a town hall meeting, meaning they open up the lines of communication to everybody in the company, to the C-suite, to the leadership, and they are allowed to ask anything they want. So on any given Friday, that's fantastic, right? Like, how cool is that, that you can ask leadership anything you want? Well, a couple of Fridays ago when things were getting really real and suddenly it was this question of, are we working from home, right? Are we working at work? What's happening? How does this affect our company? It didn't work so well. And here's why. So the process is good, but here's what happened. People on the call were asking those questions. What's the deal? What are we doing? What's our plan? Are we working from home? What's happening? And leadership had nothing. Nothing. No response. Can you imagine being on the other side of that call and your leadership not taking any action? Now, here's the thing, and this is why I say action over answers. It's not that you as a leader, because I know some of you out there going, but I don't have answers tomorrow. I don't know. It's day by day. Believe me, I get it. Your team doesn't need to know that you have the answers. And in that scenario I gave, that leadership team didn't have to say, here's exactly what we're doing, here's our step-by-step plan. What they need to do is come back with action. Hey, we're on the front end of this, but we are spending the next 24 hours investigating and digging deep. And the minute we have some ideas and some answers for you, we are going to do another one of these meetings, or we're going to get back to you, however they communicate. Do you see the point there? People want to know that you're taking action. We all know that right now we don't have all the answers. We know that things are day by day. We know that things change based on the bell curve of the coronavirus. Like, we know that. So you don't need to BS your people and pretend to have all the answers. If you have some for how you're going to operate, that's fantastic. But what your team really needs from you is action. They need to know you're doing something about it, that you are thinking about it, investigating, research, looking into stuff. I'll tell you, I got an email from a restaurant just before all the closures out here in Colorado. And it said, hey, we don't know where this is headed, but we can tell you what actions we're taking to ensure the safety of our employees and our patrons. And they listed out four or five things. And that alone put me at such ease because I knew they were at least looking into it and taking action. That's what your team needs, right? They need to know you're taking action. Now, the third one is investment over workload. Now, this one gets a little tricky, so go with me on this for a second. You know, we're all working remotely, and it's hard to track productivity. It's hard to know what's happening. And frankly, we're all a little bit stressed out, and our energy is kind of stretched in multiple places. In fact, I did a webcast about that, too, about how to not let disruption and distraction sabotage you. It is all about your mind and energy, and I would highly recommend go watching it. It's on our website, but I'll just tell you very quickly that we all have limited bandwidth when it comes to energy, and right now, some of that bandwidth is sucked up by the stress of what the hell is happening, right? So we're all working in this kind of crazy time, and I'm going to share another example with you. I had a colleague say, you know, now that we're not in the office, my boss is freaking out about our productivity. So basically kind of pings us over whatever system they use to Slack, Basecamp, whatever it is, but is pinging me constantly. And if I don't answer within 5 minutes, she starts to question my productivity, right? So what she's doing instead, she said, for all of us, is she's doubling our workload, thinking if I give people more to do, right, this is how we'll get through this. We just keep our heads down and we do more, we do more. Here's the thing. I get hunkering down. But we've got to balance that out with the realities of the situation. And frankly, trying to like micromanage the productivity of your team in any situation is bad. And I think you all know that already, or you wouldn't be on this podcast. But in times like this that are uncertain, what I would recommend, and the leaders that I've seen do a phenomenal job of this, and their teams really rise up, is actually investing in your team, right? Showing them that you care about their well-being. Take a free online class together. Watch some TED Talks together. Like whatever it is, do something that shows them that you are invested in their well-being, in their long-term success, and in getting through this together. One of the teams that signed up for our 6-part online innovation class, the one I was talking about in the intro, the 6 keys to being a high-performing innovation leader, signed up for it because as he told me, he said, you know, I wanted my team to know that I am thinking about them and that through all this, I care about them and I understand that they have their own stresses and their own issues. He said, and I wanted to give them a tool to help them not only be productive, but improve themselves professionally at the same time. He said, that's why I picked your course. So look, I don't care what course you do. I mean, I care a little bit, of course. I'd love to see you on mine. But what I really care about is that you really recognize this balance between investment and workload. Work is getting done. Your team wants to do a good job. But you know what else feels good? Contributing and being innovative and creative and developing your skills. That will actually trickle over into your work. So investment over workload. That's tip number 3. Now for the 2 that I brushed over quickly as a bonus, but I'm going to dig deeper into right now, is innovation over restriction. This is an amazing opportunity for us to encourage innovation in our teams. I said in the beginning, right now we have to. We don't have a choice. I have to. You have to. We all do. We can't just talk about it. We don't have the luxury of time, right? But here's the interesting thing, and the reason I mention this now is not because you need to stay relevant in your job and find your value as things change, how you work changes, also your company and how they do the things that they do. But also, here's the other part about it. When we put in all these layers of restrictions and structure and we kind of come down on people like that, we hinder their, not just their ability to innovate, but also their motivation to contribute, right? They just want to get stuff done. They just want to get through this. That's what restriction does. Innovation expands opportunities. And on a personal level, the part that I think is really cool is that being innovative actually taps the reward center in your brain. I talk about this a little bit in my book, Innovation is Everybody's Business. We'll also put a link in the show notes. And actually, for my post-production team, I would put that link to the book page on our website because there's incredible bonuses for you, a bunch of free stuff if you buy the book, if you pre-order the book before it officially comes out in May. But I talk about this in the book, and I talk about how it released. So when we trigger that part of us, when we get into that state of flow and we do some creative problem solving and strategic thinking, when we like figure out that sticky thing, it actually taps a reward center in our brain and releases dopamine. It makes us feel good. So you give your people the room to innovate over more restrictions. You are giving them the opportunity to be happy, to find some joy, to feel good. And guess what? Figure out those innovative solutions to your sticky challenges right now. And you know what? I know you have them because I have them, because we're all trying to figure out how the F to move forward and do things differently. So give them the room to innovate. On the personal level, it makes you feel good. And on the professional level, it contributes to the work. And it helps you not just get through all this and like hunker down, but actually find the opportunity in all this. Innovation over restriction could not be more important right now. All right, the last one is, and I ended on this one because this is the more heartfelt one. I mean, I think they're all heartfelt in a lot of ways, but this is the one that really speaks to that. And that's empathy over authority. Yes, we need to be strong leaders in times of uncertainty, but it is important that we lead with empathy too. And we listen and have empathy for our people and the things that they're dealing with. In another webcast that I did, I went over and I referenced it earlier, the Kubler-Ross. It's the seven stages of grief. It actually came out from a psychiatrist studying terminally ill patients, right? You kind of go from shock, denial, like way over to acceptance. And one of the things I was sharing on though is that, like, how to equate that to our times now and what people seem like at the different levels. Like people in denial are just like, I'm just waiting for it to get back to normal, right? They're kind of in a fight with reality. We're on the other side. The people who are over in integration are like, all right, this is the different normal, the new normal. Let's figure out how to move forward. Let's figure out how to integrate what's happening in the real world to what we do and how to kind of get ahead with that. The reason I bring that up is we want to move our people to the right of this curve, but people are all over the place. And frankly, at any given time, they're all over the place and they're dealing with their own realities, right? I mean, I'm not going to lie. If you talk to me at 2 o'clock in the morning when I wake up with anxiety, like I'm on the anger, frustration side of the curve. And then you hit me right now, I'm doing this podcast and I'm on the integration side of the curve and I'm smiling and I'm like, yeah, let's do this, right? We're all over the place. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to have some empathy for our people in the different places that they're coming from. I'll tell you, I got an email from a colleague the other day that said something to the effect of, hey, Tamara, now that I have all this downtime, right, because we've all been canceled for being on the road. It was another speaker. She said, I'm catching up on a few things. I know you have these three things that I'd love to see. Do you mind shooting this over to me? And this was in the throes of me suddenly having kids at home and everything being canceled and trying to support my clients to not just reschedule their events, but what else we can do to like help them still provide value to their clients. But like all this stuff, right? You get it. Like everything's insane. People are starting to work from home. I'm trying to figure out, I'm now kind of homeschooling and I'm an activities director and blah. Okay, you get it. So that email comes in and it's like, hey, now I have all this downtime. And I got triggered. I was like, good for you. I'm over here panicking and like with no time on my hands. So I didn't respond to the email because I didn't have time. I was like, let me get through the stuff I have to get through and then I'll deal with it. Then I got another email from them saying, hey, just following up, make sure you got my email. And I'm thinking, wow, where's the empathy or where's the question even to the person on the other side to say, hey, before I add work to your plate, how you doing in all this, right? We got to just open up these lines of conversation. That's why I say lead with empathy over authority. Okay, it's important to be strong and confident and real and all those things I just talked about. But have some empathy for the people on the other side. All this colleague of mine had to do was say, hey, Tamara, I've got some downtime. How's life on your end? And then I could have been like, oh my gosh, it's a little bit crazy. And then she would have known not to like follow up with little pings to ask me to do stuff when I didn't have the time. It wasn't my priority. I couldn't do it. I needed to get to other stuff. Now I did finally get her what she wanted and I was happy to do it when I could get to it. But you see my point, right? Empathy matters. On all the conference calls I'm doing, whether it's with my team or clients or colleagues, new business, doesn't matter, whatever, I always start the conversation with, hey, what's up in your world? Like, how's it going? Because you know what? People need to know that you care about them as a person and not in the manipulative way, but in a real way. we're all dealing with our own shit right now, right? Whether it's our own personal finances or our business finances or being out of work or worrying about our jobs or just worrying about our friends or dealing with the reality that our kids are not going back to school this year for most of us, right? Not at least physically. Whatever it is, I don't need to belabor it. You get the point. Lead with empathy. And when your people snap, because they will, let them have a moment. It's not the end of the world. Right? Not to say, but we don't want to keep them there. That's why we're going to be real with them. That's why we're going to show them action. That's why we're going to invest. That's why we're going to innovate. And that's why we're going to have empathy. Those are the five tips for leading during uncertain times. I hope you are staying well and healthy and safe. And hey, I listed out a lot of different resources that we have here at Launch Street, some free, some affordable. Whatever it is that you need, go get it. All right, Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.